And I don't know if you're anything like me when you're in a bookshop, especially if you're in a bookshop with the kids and you look at what's available and you think, I wish they had this stuff when I was little. I suffer from this particular case of, let's call it generational envy, when I'm looking at books with my daughter in the she's 10, so looking at books in the 8 to 10 age group, it's a lot of fun. Well, joining us is Rowan Simkin. She is from the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. She's a volunteer there and a retired primary school teacher. And today we're having a specific look at some of the amazing books and book series that are available for the 8 to 10 age group. Rowan, welcome back to Afternoons.
Thanks, Paula. It's nice to be here.
And so when it comes to this age group, what books are appealing to kids this age?
They do like series of books, much like any group of people, including adults. But they also like books that are looking at relationships a bit further afield than just mum and dad, into siblings, cousins, classrooms, teachers, sports and sporting teams. So they're just broadening, going a bit further outside their comfort zone. So all the challenges, the funny things that happen, and using an imagination. And one of the things about all the series that I've looked at for this is that they're all very amusing. So I think the sense of humour at that age, so there's lots of fart jokes and things like that.
In our household, it's not just the 10-year-old that is still obsessed with the fart jokes. That's throughout the generations
household. Yes.
The parents haven't grown out of it yet. So, look, let's start with Aaron Blaby. So he, is it Pig the Pug series?
Yes.
So at a younger age, they may have enjoyed those books. And so you can progress as you get older to the Bad Guys
series. And the Bad Guys books are described, well, they're scary and dangerous as well as being bad. They do want to be heroes, but
Who doesn't want to be heroes?
But they're trying to do good deeds. And it says on the back of the book, buckle up for the funniest, naughtiest and coolest book you'll ever read. It's time to meet the bad guys. So there's Mr. Wolf and there's a shark and there's a snake and lots of different crazy characters. Big, bold illustrations, not too much text. So they're a really good choice for a reluctant reader or if you're going along in the car and want something to entertain them. But they talk about cars, and this one is a fully sick V8 engine that runs on undiluted panther wee. So really strange things like that. There's a shark with these huge teeth that seem to take over the pages. There's trips and falls and plans and all kinds of adventures. And they're just really amusing stories. There's about six or seven in the series so far. I can't keep up with his writing. He's bringing them out all the time. But really funny books for anyone from 8 to 10 or even older if they've got that sort of humour or they're looking for a nice, fun, easy book to read.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Panther Wee V8 at Summernats next year, Rowan. Any chance of it showing up?
Oh, it would be good. It would be interesting to see whether that was an unfair advantage.
And so that's Aaron Blaby and with the Bad Guys series. And this one is very popular. Do tell us about the Treehouse series.
Well, every child wants to have had a treehouse.
I grew up on Phantom Comics and he lived in a treehouse, you know, so I couldn't understand why we couldn't have the same thing.
Yeah, well, his treehouse, these treehouses, it starts with a 13-story treehouse by Andy Griffiths and Terry Denton, with Terry's doing the illustrations, but I think he's very much adding to the creative descriptions of the treehouses. And it starts off with a 13-story treehouse, then it goes to a 26 and then 39. So you learn your 13 times tables as you're reading these.
Usually you go up to 12.
12, yes.
But to push it to 13.
Yep. And the first one, of course, is the 13-story treehouse. And there's all kinds of things. This one has a bowling alley, a see-through swimming pool, a tank full of man-eating sharks, a giant catapult, a secret underground laboratory, and a marshmallow machine that follows you around and shoots marshmallows into your mouth whenever you're hungry. So every person's fantasy, really. The illustrations are just beautiful in here, really, really support the text. And there's really stupid things. There's blank pages just of black. There's a double spread where there's called the Barky the Barking Dog Show, and they're just little squares of the dog going bark, 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 bark for two pages. So that's really easy reading to do.
And it's the absurd, like kids love the absurdity of it.
They are totally absurd. And then all the books start in a very similar way. So they're very comforting for children who are not very confident in their reading, and they're just so much fun. And then there is a sensible character in here, though, that's Jill, and she's sort of tries to keep them on the straight and narrow, though not always very successfully. So these books are just beautiful, and they zoom up the charts all the time, and there's lots of children who are looking forward to the new ones coming out. Although I think they've come to the end of it.
Oh.
But I'm sure they haven't come to the end of writing nonsense.
Yes, yeah. Mm. For this particular series, you might have to start at the beginning and go through them again.
Absolutely.
It's a bit like Game of Thrones, you know. It's time for it to end.
not into Game of Thrones.
You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, and with you is Rowan Simkin. She is a volunteer at the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature and a former school teacher. And we're talking about books, but in particular, book series that are good for the 8 to 10 age group. Now, Rowan, let's move on to Anne Doe. Is there anything he doesn't do?
Oh, he's an amazing, amazing character. This is another very funny series. And I think children can really relate to this. The boy's called Weir, W-E-I-R, and his surname is Doe, so of course Weirdo. And he's moved to a new school with his crazy family, and he just has lots of adventures, and he's trying to work out his place within the school. There's very funny illustrations. Farts and burps as well, and his family really give him a hard time with all the crazy things that they do, but the people in his class also give him a bit of a hard time, but he's strong enough to get through that, so he shows some resilience. They're just beautiful stories, very, very funny stories, very funny illustrations that would appeal to any child in that age group.
And so does it have, is the outsider a bit of a theme in this one?
Yes, it is a bit of an outsider. He's a bit different. I think partly because his family's a bit different. It reminds me a bit of the Benjamin Law books which are for much older people. But it's because he's got a different name, he looks a little bit different, he has some different food, his sister's a bit strange at times. But it shows that there's just hilarity all around him. The teachers are funny, his siblings are funny, and there's all strange and wonderful things happening throughout the book.
Yes, speaking of the strange and wonderful, let's move on to the Tushy series. My personal favourite in the list of books we're talking. I know that I shouldn't show bias, Rowan. I know it's bad of me, but the Tushy series is just, I so enjoyed sharing these with my kids.
Oh, they're just beautiful. The Tushy books came out in 1995. So they've been around a while now, and they're written by Anna Feinberg and her daughter, Barbara Feinberg. And the pictures are by Kim Gamble, who's a wonderful illustrator. Unfortunately, he's passed away, so he won't be illustrating any more Tushy books. But Tushy is just the most wonderful character. And nowadays, with refugees being an issue in Australian people coming and finding a safe place to be, we realised that Tushy was probably a refugee. And his family actually sold him to a warlord so that they could come to Australia. But Tushy was rescued and he escaped and flew to Australia on a very friendly swan. and came to his family. And Tashi tells amazing stories, and he's befriended a young boy called Jack. Now, whether Tashi is an imaginary friend or a real friend is up to the reader. But there's lots of adventures. There's huge giants and warlords and amazing creatures and all kinds of adventurous things that are quite a bit different. They're almost, there's a bit of an Asian influence, I think, in the pictures and the types of beings. This goes into mythology. Just beautiful pictures. And each book has two separate stories. And there's about 20 books now, so you can give them to your child as a present, and they can really enjoy the whole series of stories. They're also available as big books, but I really like the little books. The illustrations are just beautiful. They're black and white throughout the book, but the covers are just beautiful, beautiful colours. And Tashi with his little cap on his head that goes into a curl.
It looks a bit like Noddy's cap.
It does. And he's just beautiful. And he's brave, and he does all the things that Jack would like to do.
He's so
clever and shows initiative, and Jack is very envious of his friend Tashi.
You said that it's up to the reader to decide whether Tashi is from Jack's imagination or not. It's so interesting with my kids when they looked at this book. They're not from a refugee background or anything like that, but they are from a background where they've got two different cultures.
Yep.
And so they could see the similarities that Tashi is talking to one group of friends about the other culture.
Yes.
And when you do that, it does sound like a weird, magical place, and yet it's completely normal for you. So even at 8 years of age, kids are constantly looking at these books and making it relevant to their own lives, I guess.
Yeah, and 1995, and these books are still as enchanting and relevant, even more relevant today as they were then.
And I think we still got a bit of time to squeeze in one more, because there's so many good ones in here, Rowan. Olivia's Secret Scribbles.
Yes.
And the Ella Diaries.
Yes, these are by the same author, and they're both about young girls who, Olivia writes down a diary with all her secrets in it, and she talks about what's happening in the classroom, what she's been doing on the weekend, how some people are not allowing her to be included in their games, her wish to be a trapeze artist and join the circus, all the types of things she wants to do, fighting over the monkey bars in the playground. And she lists things, and she writes down all her hopes and desires and everything that she'd like to do. So there's a whole lot of these books that are really fun to read. And then there's also the Ella Diaries as well, which are quite similar. But Ella's very much into soccer. And so she talks about playing soccer and all the different positions and her friends and losing games and winning games and all the different things that might happen, and how parents can be so unfair sometimes.
Oh, aren't they, Rowan? Aren't they?
And not packing a nice lunch, or just, and sometimes it's no boys allowed. So they're just really lovely diaries. I think they're aimed more at the girls' market, but they're fun books for anyone to read, particularly if you're interested in sports and pets.
And so if you, like me, and you suffer a case of generational envy, wishing that these books were around when you're a young thing, find yourself someone in that 8 to 10-year-old age groups and grab a series of books and I guess share it with them, Rowan. That's the best thing we can suggest.
These are just a few. There are so many series for this age group. And yes, just share, read to them, get them to read to you. There's so many wonderful Australian books out there.
Thanks for bringing them to life for us, Rowan. That is Rowan
Thanks,
Simpkin
Paul.
From the National Centre for Children's Literature. She is a volunteer there and a former school teacher. Has me thinking maybe I'll head home and dust off my Tashi series. I don't care if the kids are interested in reading them or not. I wanted to catch up with Tashi and those adventures, all that magical stuff that happened.